Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and it is my pleasure to have today a longtime friend, colleague at times, Lee Watson of the Forge Institute. Those who follow my columns through the years know that I feel that, you know, Arkansas has a lot of potential. A lot of Arkansans don't think about that, but in the technology realm, if you look at defense, if you look at aerospace, the things that we're already doing there. So we're going to cover all of that today. Lee, I know you have a passion for all of this, so I really appreciate you coming in and joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rex. It's good to see you, and I'm excited to be on.
No, absolutely. Now, I don't want to take for granted that our listeners all know what the Forge Institute is. So kind of your elevator pitch here quickly. What is the Institute? How did you come about starting it?
Yeah, so let me start about me first.
And yes,
I'll talk about Forge. So I, you know, Arkansas kid, born and raised here, went to school here, started a series of companies here. I've been big that you can do some cool stuff in a state like Arkansas. We've got a great population size. It's easy to, you know, access people. It's, you know, it's easier to make things happen than in, you know, the big markets or the coastal cities. So technologist, entrepreneur, big visionary, but I also know that you have to execute. You have to make things happen. Forge Institute, sort of the latest incarnation of, you know, of those things. We were set up to help Arkansans, businesses, government understand cyber and emerging technology risk, but we don't want to just stop there. We want to look at, well, what are the opportunities? What are the business, the efficiency opportunities, the growth opportunities, as well as the economic development opportunities?
All right, let's start with cybersecurity, though, and then I'll move on into defense and aerospace. But that was kind of your start. And for a small state, about 3.1 million people, Arkansas has, with university programs, what you're doing, other things, we have a pretty good base for a small state, do we not, to be a cybersecurity hub?
We do. We have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. There's a great disparity among cyber maturity and cyber capability. So it's been good to see the two-year schools and more of the four-year schools offering cyber courses, but there's still a pretty big gap in the workforce, both within Arkansas and across the country. We need more people doing this. We need more people thinking about cyber and digital supply chain risk when they're building technology. So they're baking those cybersecurity protocols and things in earlier in the engineering process. And then the other thing that's happening is our adversaries are getting very good at this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now in the last couple of years, they're using AI to get even better at this. And of course, the democratization of the technology for even the less sophisticated adversary to have nation state level cyber weapons and cyber capabilities is increasing at the same time. So we see an influx growth in the technology that's being used by the bad actors, more bad actors getting access to it. And I really have to question, are we doing enough, you know, here in Arkansas and around the country to defend against that? And I just honestly don't think the answer is we're doing enough.
Yeah.
We have more work to do.
Yeah. You know, you and I were talking over lunch recently. I'll give you an example here. We're taping right now in the Democrat Gazette building. We still call it a newspaper, but as you know, in essence, we are now a 24/7 digital operation, news operation. And so, you know, not that many years ago, nobody would have ever even given any thoughts of cybersecurity here, but we're a digital operation now. And boy, they, you know, they'd love to plug into news outlets that deliver information to people. So even where I work here, cybersecurity has become a major issue.
Yeah, and really for everybody, right? You can think about cyber, digital hygiene, cyber hygiene, digital citizenship type stuff, kids, grandparents, being safe online, being secure online, being careful with usernames and passwords and going to bad websites or connecting things to your bank account that shouldn't be connected and having two-factor and sort of all that stuff. And we need to do more of that. But then you think about the businesses and the commercial enterprises, financial institutions, bigger firms. Now, the bigger the institution, maybe the level of cyber maturity goes up and they become harder for the adversary to go after. So the adversary goes down to the lower hanging fruit. And that there's a lot of organizations across the state that are ill prepared, you know, for this. And that's part of what our mission is at Forge, is to both raise the awareness of the threat as well as share those best practices and the guidance for how to, you know, increase digital defenses.
All right. Now you were talking about, and you are a visionary, but you were talking about you've got to get things done. So let's bring that plane down from 30,000 feet and let's get on the ground. Give me some ideas of what you do at Forge to help businesses, to help government institutions, what have you, on a day-to-day basis when it comes to cybersecurity.
Okay.
What kind of things are you doing?
So I mentioned earlier that Forge helps people identify and understand risk, but also look at the opportunity for business growth and economic development. We do that through three categories of programmatic activity. So the first is workforce development. The second is applied research, startup type innovation activity. And the third is collective defense or building resiliency. So I'll kind of step through each one of those.
Okay, please.
On the workforce side, for the last almost 3 years, we've been running a fifth grade STEM education program in partnership with the 19th Airlift Wing at Little Rock Air Force Base. So bringing world-class STEM education to fifth grade schools, all within a driving distance of the base. Starting them early in cyber and just STEM literacy through that. Then we've got a program called the Forge Fellowship. This is a partnership with the Office of Secretary of Defense, and it's for transitioning military veterans who can apply to be a part of it. And if they're accepted and their commander signs off, they can spend the last up to 6 months of their service assigned to Forge and go through training and on-the-job learning. And we've even done some MOUs, and we've liaisoned them out to companies like Axiom to help work in their cybersecurity division, or Nabholz Construction, or a lot of other folks. And that program is supported by the Arkansas Office of Skills Development, funded by the state. So, then the third program is our academy. So boot camps for Arkansans that have little to no technical skills, moving them into a IT help desk, cyber 101 type position. But I love this because we've had people go from food stamps to making $50,000 to $60,000 a year.
Wow. Wow.
And that's transformative, not
that,
just for
that
them.
That really is, yeah.
But for their family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a more an adult level cyber boot camp that takes an IT person and moves them into a cyber defense analyst, which, again, a kind of a cyber 101. And that's used by companies all across the state to reskill and upskill their employees for cyber. So a lot being done in the workforce arena. And then in the innovation and applied research, we're working with research schools in the state, the University of Arkansas up in Fayetteville, UA Little Rock, and UA Pine Bluff, on federally funded research on cybersecurity. How do we build new algorithms, AIs, training modules to robust the protection of the electric grid and with utilities all across the state? We've started an innovation program funded by DOE called Embers, and it's for people that have that, you know, that startup idea and they want to do something to protect the power grid or protect critical infrastructure or some new cybersecurity capability. They can go through a DOE-funded innovation, you know, program for that. And then there's more stuff coming in there. And then finally, in that resiliency or that collective defense, you know, it really is about working together. We're only as strong as our weakest link. And businesses are connected to other businesses because there's vendors, there's customers, there's wire transfers happening. There's all kinds of, you know, digital interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have to work together to build those defenses.
Everyone loves a good place to eat, and few things are more discouraging than spending good money on a bad meal. I'm Eric Harrison, and I write for the Style section at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Knowing where to go, what to try, and how much you'll shell out go a long way toward making sure readers find the experience they are looking for rather than paying for big disappointment. Help us create a marketplace where consumers can rely on reviews and make informed choices by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADGnow.
So we have different programs in this arena to help educate and inform sometimes technical leaders, but often non-technical leaders who are running, you know, cities and counties and sheriff's departments and businesses and, you know, divisions across state government. Inform them on the risk, inform them of what the adversary is doing and why they're trying to do it. And so that way we can become more proactive. And really, we want to move the cyber conversation from an incident response one to left of boom. You know, how do I build the resiliency so when they attack, I can withstand it and keep operating? And that's where we all need to get to.
So absolutely.
A lot of different ways that we do it, a lot of different funding structures, a lot of different partners, but trying to tackle, you know, that fundamental problem of building resilient organizations.
Yeah. Let's move on to some of the other areas I was mentioning. I'll start with defense. You know, when I speak around the state, I'm constantly amazed of how few Arkansans understand that, you know, a lot of the weapons that the Ukrainians have been using the past 3 years against the Russians are actually made right down there in the Pine Woods of South Arkansas, the Highland Industrial Park, with more than 3,000 people working near Camden now, hundreds of new jobs coming online. But you can go all around the state and look at what's going on. And then on the military side, I know a lot of Arkansans have read about the new fighter training mission in Fort Smith, where we'll be training really the F-35 pilots for all of our allies around the world. And I think that'll be a long-term mission for many years to come. I could go on, but I know Arkansas has a, again, for a small state, a very healthy defense industry, and wanted you to talk about a little bit about how Forge has gotten into that area of Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about this. There has been a lot going on, not just down in Camden and the Highland Park, but really across the state. The state issued the Arkansas Mobility Report just a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And in there, I think it's 170 plus businesses focused on aerospace and defense, representing, I think, over 10,000 jobs. But it's the largest economic export in the state.
Yeah.
So this is like this big thing that's going on that I would say very little focus on the innovation side of growing this part of the innovation ecosystem has been, you know, we haven't focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Forge has now launched several different programs in partnership with the state and the United States Air Force and the National Guard to build purposeful programmatic activity to stimulate startups, academic research, solutions for the warfighter, so that way we can really double down and grow this. The military has, we all kind of know where the installations are across
right.
the state. The missions that take place there are a little bit, they're not always put on the websites.
Mm-hmm.
There are some phenomenal, modern, high-tech missions. And we have Arkansans doing them, doing these missions just as well as any other airman or soldier anywhere else in the country. And they're looking for next-gen technology to improve and expand those mission capabilities too. You know, both increasing the lethality of the capability, but also protecting our airmen and soldiers as they're deployed and just improving overall mission effectiveness. And that, so there's just so much we can do here with AI, drones, counter-drone technology, electronic warfare, and then, of course, cybersecurity to make sure that all these systems are cyber resilient and they're protected. So a lot of great opportunities.
For instance, I mentioned the fighter mission going to Fort Smith, and as you said, they don't really publicize this, but the kind of work you're talking about, there was already a lot of that going on in Fort Smith.
Some very cool missions. Very cool missions up there.
Yeah. That was already happening, and it's still happening. Yeah.
So obviously from the, I don't want to speak for our partners directly, but from the military's perspective, how do they make sure that they are mission ready, trained and equipped, and have the best capabilities for the warfighter? From the state's perspective, how do we create more companies, more jobs? How do we further diversify the state's economy and really, accelerate the defense innovation ecosystem? So a couple of things that Forge has done is we've worked with Senator Bozeman and the Arkansas Congressional Delegation and the United States Air Force to put together a program called Atomic Anvil.
Mm-hmm. Had that written down. I love the name. So what'd you do? Explain it.
Well, when you work on these government programs, you have to have acronyms or really cool names. And so that's where that came from. But what it's about is connecting small businesses, connecting startup innovators and academic researchers, connecting them with the mission partners within the Air Force and the Army. So that way they can better understand the mission capabilities and really where new innovation is needed. So that way they can go do better research, align their research to that capability, or if they have a solution that fits, help connect them. The government has a lot of funding vehicles to help equip the warfighter. And so part of our mission is identifying all of those funding opportunities that, by the way, for the startups are non-dilutive funding, and then helping connect program managers and contracting officers mm-hmm. together so that way they can actually get some funding in the door, hire more people, expand their intellectual property, and support the Air Force. And there's a bunch of other stuff we're going to do under that program. And then just last week, we launched the Phoenix Accelerator.
I pulled that
program.
Release too. Yeah, another one. Tell us what the Phoenix Accelerator
is. You and I both
is.
Have like all these press releases out there.
So good work.
So the Phoenix Accelerator is about finding early stage startups that are doing something to help the warfighter. Various stages of technology maturity and technical readiness levels and IP development. Some here in Arkansas, some from around the country who we've picked, and we're putting them through this 12-week business development focused business accelerator program, bringing in mentors, coaches, contracting officers, program officers from the military, looking at compliance and regulation requirements and all of that stuff to really help accelerate them. And I'm really excited about it because this is obviously just the first year that we've done it and the first defense-focused, innovation programs like mm-hmm. this in the state. And there's so much room to grow and to double down. So connecting communities together across the state, connecting people, finding gaps, finding opportunities, connecting them with innovators, creating new technologies, creating jobs. And it's just a perfect time to be doing it. And Arkansas is a perfect state to do it in.
It really is a good state. I mean, we talked about what's going on at the Highland Industrial Park. We talked about what's going on in Fort Smith. Here in Little Rock, in the aerospace area, Dassault Falcon announced another major expansion last year. They announced it moving toward that. Again, a lot of Arkansans don't understand that one company alone already employs Lee over 1,000 people and are going to be adding hundreds of new jobs there.
I think, Rex, what I've seen in my career is anything is possible. You've got to have vision. You have to be able to pull people together and you have to execute on it. And I think we've got some great people here. We've got the engineers. We always need more talent, but we have some incredibly smart, capable people here. I think our state needs bigger vision. Mm-hmm. We need bigger, bolder ideas, and we need to not be afraid to go after it. And we're going to fail sometimes. And failure means that we're trying some stuff. And we need to embrace that and just move full steam ahead.
Decisions made in Washington affect folks in Arkansas. I'm Alex Thomas, the Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm keeping a close eye on what happens in the nation's capital and how decisions and decision makers impact our state. Take, for instance, the next farm bill. We're connecting you with the policymakers drafting this legislation, as well as the Arkansas farmers vital to this state's economy. I know how much these decisions matter to everyday Arkansans, which is why I'm here in Washington, making sure you stay informed. This kind of coverage is only possible through your support. So consider subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADG now.
Another area I wanted to mention, because when I think of cybersecurity and the biggest threats, was the energy area. And once more, we're talking about Arkansans. Most Arkansans just don't know. Arkansas is a major hub with Southwest Power Pool, headquartered at Little Rock. That is a regional transmission organization. MISO, which is also a regional transmission organization, has a major operation in Little Rock. And again, I don't think a lot of Arkansans understand that from that point, as far as the grid, overseeing the safety of the grid, Arkansas is a bit of a hub there.
Yeah, I think we've got some just phenomenal utility and utility connected, you know, organizations in the state. There's always, I think, more room to work on the resiliency, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're good. But as we start getting down into, you know, grid connected entities or smaller utilities, what more can we do to make sure that we're equipping and training and, you know, and helping them? But the other question is what can we leverage this for?
Yeah.
You know, because we have a lot of power capabilities and they're great managers of the grid, what are the other economic development opportunities that can exist because of that? Especially for organizations like defense mm-hmm. that care a great deal about resiliency.
All right. So you went back. I'm going to go back up to 30,000 feet again. You went back a minute ago and said you just think there's so much more opportunity. I agree with you. We've talked about energy. We've talked about aerospace. We've talked about defense and the foundation that is always already here. And so how do we go big in Arkansas? How do we get elected officials on board? How do we get nonprofits on board? How do we get private corporations on board and get them all pulling in the same direction to go big? How do we get there?
Well, that is certainly the multiple million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I think we have some great elected officials, and there's certainly a busy legislative session. One thing that I would like to see in between sessions is more connectivity with our elected officials mm-hmm. and helping them understand these new technologies and what they can mean for the state and how they can be leveraged. You know, I think that's one thing. I think public-private partnerships are another thing, right? Population density, the small population of the state is certainly a benefit in some cases. It's also, you know, a harder thing when you're trying to, you know, pull some people together. So how do we bring the corporate folks, the industry together with government, with academia? Certainly all of our effort is focused on those public-private partnerships. And then getting people to look not just 1 year out, but maybe 5 years out. You know, how do we really think about what's coming down the road? AI is here, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of different—
Whether we like it or not.
Well, there's a lot of different types of AI, right? AI is not just your chatbot type stuff. There's a lot more to it than that. And we had Google come in and do a workshop a few weeks ago, and they showed— Jeremy showed this whole roadmap of what Google is doing in AI and where things are going. And we have R&D projects that are leveraging agentic AI, autonomous systems. The business disruption and efficiency of these technologies is just going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some ethical and moral considerations to look at, and there's certainly some risk to look at too. But I think those are the types of discussions that we need to be having. The ability for these advanced AI to work on gene therapies and new drugs and cancer detection and cancer vaccines. I mean, just some incredible use cases, you know, humanity changing use cases that AI can help us with. There's also some stuff that the adversaries are doing with it, you know, disinformation, misinformation, cyber manipulation, and some other stuff. So we really need to understand it and make sure that the regulation, whether it's industry and it's self-regulation or if it's government regulation, is really thoughtful, understands, and prepared to deal with these new technologies.
Again, as I look at Arkansas and as I look at its history and dream about where we might can go, as you know, I'm an Arkansas history nut, and I look at things like Entergy Corporation, one of the top energy companies in the country, had its roots in Arkansas when Harvey Couch laid those first electricity lines between Malvern and Arkadelphia more than 100 years ago. I look at the fact that what we now just call fintech, financial technology, in many ways had its roots here in Arkansas with the old Systematic. So we've had visionaries in the past. We've done big things in the past. If you look at Arkansas history, it's not that Arkansas does not have a history of technological innovation.
No, that's so true. Let's talk about fintech for just a minute. I do know a little bit about that.
Yes, you do.
When Dr. Hendren, James Hendren, and I started the Fintech Accelerator.
Who's still out there active. Thanks God for James Hendren.
Yes, we had FIS's story of being here. But the corporate headquarters had long moved to Jacksonville,
Arkansas,
Florida,
absolutely.
Right? And when we built that program, there wasn't a lot of fintech innovation. There was one or two, three companies in the state.
And they were small.
And within 2 years of just deciding that we were going to do it, we won international awards. We had Congressman Hill bringing up this program, you know, on the floor of Congress. We had federal regulators, state regulators, hundreds. I mean, it probably ended up being over 1,000 bank leaders from across the country flying into Arkansas to be a part of this program. We had a vision, and we decided to do it, and we did it, and it became reality. Mm-hmm. And we can do that. We can do that again.
In so many areas. So get your crystal ball out for me. We're running out of time, and I knew this would go too fast, but get your crystal ball out for me. And in all these areas we talked about, where do you see things going in Arkansas, let's say in the next 5 years and then in the next 10 years? What do you see possibly happening here?
You know, and I'll look at that not just from a cyber or defense standpoint, but I'll look sort of across all industry sectors, and it's AI. Mm. It's taking advantage of the AI we have today and building new AIs, new models to take care of mission-specific or industry-specific opportunities or problem areas. It's using AI to advanced quantum algorithms and quantum computing capabilities. We'll see, I think, within the next 5, certainly 10 years, the first commercially viable quantum computers. Those quantum computers will use quantum AI algorithms, and things will never be the same again. Mm-hmm. And we have to have a technology literate, AI literate workforce, policy leaders, all of that, to really embrace and leverage these new technologies. Quantum AI is going to make today's AI look like it was a calculator.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we properly prepare that workforce of the future?
Well, K through 12 education, you know.
Which you're doing some, as you mentioned.
We're doing a little bit, but, you know, really leveraging.
Got to have state government to buy in a big way.
Yeah, leveraging the LEARNS Act, you know, bringing industry in. That was one of the things that I was excited about in that. Really putting the gas pedal down, Rex, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, academia in general, K through 12 and higher ed, and, you know, working and training people for the jobs of today is great. but we also have to make sure that we're training them for the jobs of tomorrow, and that they're learning how to learn, you know, not just getting skills training, but they're getting in the, you know, the engineering and that kind of stuff too. Getting companies to embrace it, spend a little bit of time learning about what this stuff can do for you. And then how do you train your people and your workforce to embrace it? I mean, we're talking, I think, in many ways, more transformation than going from without internet to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But in a much, much shorter time period.
Yeah. It's moving quickly, isn't it? Yeah. And we need to move more quickly as a state. We talk about workforce training, but another thing that worries me, and I always, you know, say here's my vested interest. You know, part of my background is I spent 5 years in higher education as head of the Association of All the Independent Colleges and Universities in Arkansas, and that is the fact that we continue to chronically underfund higher education in Arkansas, and so much of the breakthroughs in the history of our country, whether it's healthcare, anything else, has come from research and development done on university campuses. And I just think we have to be more forward thinking as a state in that area.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think that sometimes there's this this push-pull relationship between business and policymakers and higher ed around skills, practical mm-hmm. skills development. I don't think college is the place for practical skills development.
Exactly.
In that sense. It's a place to learn how to think, how to do research, how to go learn to do anything. I mean, there's always a place for the two-year schools and the trade schools and all of that. And we need both sets of this. But I think we need to protect what's good from higher ed and not change it, but actually double down.
Amen.
In it, right?
Amen.
The other thing is the arts. I want to mention this just
okay,
real quick.
Please, we've got time.
Creativity and the arts and human-centered design and working, you know, technology without the humanities is not very interesting, mm-hmm. right? There's so much cool stuff that we can do. Think about if you took all of the writings and the papers of David Pryor or Faubus or any of these, you know, sort of iconic Arkansans, and you run that through an AI, and you start hearing the stories, you use it for storytelling and why were decisions made and, you know, all this stuff. There's so much creativity that you can do there. The story you gave about laying the power lines.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the Harvey Kapp story, which is a wonderful story. Yeah.
So now with AI, I can take that content, create visuals, and create a 5-minute lesson plan and give to all the schools in the state and – you know, they can learn about that stuff. And I think that's pretty cool.
Wonderful idea. Lee, I'm going to have to get you back. We've run out of time, and I knew we would. So much more to think about and talk about because you cover so many areas. But I just want to say as a fellow Arkansan, thank you for what you're doing at Forge. And thank you for thinking big. One of the things I just harp on all the time, we need more Arkansans thinking big.
We've
got the possibilities, but we've got to think big to get big.
Yep. Axiom wouldn't be here if Charles Morgan wasn't
Amen.
Thinking big. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Lee Watson from the Forge Institute, thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.